Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion sur Radio Créon du colloque sur le rapport Taylor-Bouchard qui s'est tenu à Montréal en mai 2009. Welcome to the audio podcast on Radio Créon of the conference on the Bouchard-Taylor report that took place in Montreal in May 2009.
Dans la relève, Jean-Claude Tremblay approuve Richard qui cherche mot de l'œil. La passe est ici, il est seul. Il lance.
Vous allez voir ça, vous allez nous aimer.
Merci, professeur. Maintenant, pour les 10 prochaines minutes, j'invite le professeur Liret à faire quelques commentaires. Ensuite, nous passerons aux questions du public.
This is not going to be an easy job, but certainly I want to thank both Will and Abigail for those very interesting remarks on the report. I was impressed by the fact that both speakers underlined the importance of the historical context for that debate. Abigail insisted on the fact that were the commission have taken place in British Columbia, other issues would have been discussed. And so obviously the historical context, the context in which those cases arise, have implications on the content of the report. And so the context, so the historical context has its importance. As for the kind of anxieties that will be the subject of the debate. And as Will remarked, also, the particular historical context also has an impact on what the report can say or cannot say. And I think that's also very important. If you read the report, I was also struck by the attempt by the authors to weave what they are trying to say, for instance, about the laïcité ouverte, in the wider public discourse of Quebec. So I think it was very important for them to show that what they were proposing in terms of laïcité ouverte was not something new, but was, in a sense, the consequence of previous debates. And so it was something that was already implicitly accepted in Quebec, but had never been made explicit, and that they were attempting to make it explicit, to clarify those wider principles in order to propose a new basis for discussing issues about religion in Quebec. And so I think this was a very conscious attempt in the report to show that this was not a foreign doctrine imposed in Quebec, but emerged in a sense from previous debates, was a continuation of those debates, and was trying to push forward this new model of laïcité, which was not a new model of laïcité, to, in a sense, convince Quebecers that they didn't have to look, for instance, towards France to find a model to tackle issues about religious minorities, that we have something that has been developed in Quebec and then can allow us to confront those issues. And so I think that what the remarks that Will has made show the limits of that approach. I think there are a lot of advantages to that approach. I think that I agree with Will that this is what the commission had to do. I mean, I certainly think that this is what they had to do. But you show the limits of that because it can create other problems down the line. But I think that... although it may create down the line, it shows why, you know, the work of a commission is not the work of a seminar, that these are very different contexts, that you do not have a series of arguments and you try to, this is not working, this is a contradiction, this is not, this is a myth, this is this, this is that, but you have to weave what you're trying to say in a wider context of public discourse, which has its own history and its own limits. And that's why a discussion of these issues in Quebec will not take the same form that it would take in France or in British Columbia or in Ontario. And so I think that's part and parcel of the kind of problem we're facing. So that would be my first comment. Secondly, I thought it was very interesting the way that you both discussed the place of the law and the courts in these debates. And I agree with Abigail that there seems to be this dichotomy in the report between the citizens' route and the judicial route. I can understand in part why. I think that what happened, in a way, and if you look at the legal doctrine of reasonable accommodation, what this legal doctrine allows us to do is to solve and to find compromise at a very concrete level. So I remember the first judgment in the case of the Kirpan. The judge said, okay, so there is this Kirpan, and you say that it may be a threat to security. Isn't there a way to let the boy wear his Kirpan and not affect security? And the people, well, you can, you know, if you put it in a sheath or if you do this and that. So, okay, fine, do it. Huh? And so the law gives us ways, and in the sense it's false to say that the law does not allow compromise. The law gives us tools to find compromise. Of course, if you have to go to court to find a compromise, it means that at the more basic level you were not able to achieve compromise. So you go to court, and the court may indicate you a way to find a compromise, and I think that's what reasonable accommodation does. It gives us a framework to find compromise on very particular issues. But I think that the very strong reaction to that case in Quebec showed that there was a wider conflict on more abstract principles that you could not tackle through that particular perspective. So in the case of the Kirpan, the debate was between how to compromise between security in the school and religious freedom. But I think that in Quebec, there were all those anxieties about the place of religion in the public space, especially religion from minorities. And of course, this is not the kind of debate that you can have in court at that level. And so what happens is that if there is public insatisfaction, if public dissatisfaction rises, it may call into question the legitimacy of the decisions made by the courts, because people will not accept those decisions. And I think that was what was happening in Quebec in those kinds of cases. And so there was, I think, a need, which the Commission des droits de la personne had recognized itself, to hold a public debate on the more abstract principles underpinning these kinds of resolutions. And I think this is why there was the need for the Commission Bouchard-Taylor. Now, of course, if you have a wider public debate on those more fundamental principles, this can be a threat to minorities. It can be very dangerous because you open a panier de crabe and you don't know exactly what's going to come out. And a lot of things came up. So I think that there are legitimate questions to be asked as to the way the Commission undertook that. So how do we frame a public debate about those more fundamental principles in a way that does not threaten the interests and preoccupations and sensitivities of the minorities? Because then, of course, and one thing that struck me, that always strikes me, is how vulnerable majorities always feel, you know? Because it seems that they do not realize what an incredible advantage it is to be a majority just by the sheer numbers, and how easily it is to make them anxious, you know. But I think that so for instance, to have those audience publique where first come first serve, was that a smart idea? You know, wouldn't it have been better to have a conférence de citoyens, for instance? Was there other mechanisms that we could have used to have a more, in a sense, structured public debate? Or was it, in the end, the right way to go about it? Because in the end, members of minorities were able to express their own insatisfactions about life in Quebec, especially to everything that relates to their integration in the labor market. There were a lot of... And so suddenly, when the commission came to Montreal, we started hearing what members of minorities had to say about their lives in Quebec, and that was very interesting. So I think that there are a lot of questions that we can ask about how a public debate about those wider issues should be framed. But it seems to be that the relationship between... So I think that there's no dichotomy between what you can achieve in court and what you can achieve in a wider public debate. I think that the courts are absolutely necessary. But I think that it comes a time where if the wider principles, the more general principles that courts have to assume in order to do their work become questioned, then there is a necessity to have a debate about those principles. And now I think the larger issue is how to organize that debate in a way that is productive and not just polarizing. And so I think that 1 year later, what can we say about the way that the Bouchard-Taylor Commission tackled that very difficult challenge? Well, if we look at the situation in Quebec, it's true that we are the level of we are not there. There's no great conflict about those kinds of issues anymore. Why? I don't know. Is it because everyone is sick of them? There was an attempt a couple of weeks ago by the IDQ to use the fact that there are some illegal Jewish schools in Montreal. They tried to make that a big issue. It didn't work. There was one article a couple of articles in La Presse, and then it just disappeared. Does that show that the Bouchard Commission did have a positive effect? Perhaps more of a psychodrame collectif. Have people learned anything? I think that's a question for sociologists to answer. Thank you. Merci beaucoup.